Speaking of the Angeline, you chose to move into this place. So before you moved into the neighborhood, it was the poster child of gentrification and only yuppies with their dogs and their dog lounge, you know, would come in here. And first of all, you're not yuppies, but second of all, this is the Angeline, and you're living in the lap of luxury. How did you end up here?
Well, we ended up in the neighborhood because we really wanted to be in a diverse area. And so this was a part of town that we really were very interested in. We were considering West Seattle because there was a building there that we had applied for and was under construction. But the construction went on a lot longer than we had anticipated, and so it didn't look like we were going to be able to get in when we needed to. And this building popped up on my radar again as having an opening, and so we found out more about it. And
as we were driving from Tucson up the coast to here.
So you found out about this place, it became available.
Right, it did become available. We were looking for places that we could qualify for under the MFTE program.
MFTE meaning multifamily
tax exemption.
Right.
Because there's no way we could have afforded this building at market rate. We just don't have that much. We live on our Social Security and our savings. And even at the below market rate, it's not a place that we can afford to live for very long. We'll have to look for something less expensive once we've got our sort of sea legs here. Mm-hmm. But we really love this building, and we are aware of our sort of position in the neighborhood as gentrifiers and white people and newbies to the area. We're really conscious about that, and we try to be good neighbors.
How would you exemplify that statement? How does the good neighbor effort manifest?
Supporting local businesses, being friendly, having our greyhounds helps. Everyone wants to meet a greyhound because they've never seen one before. So we make a lot of friends when we're out on walks. We have events here in the building where we invite people from the neighborhood and from the building to come in for coffee or... In a few days, we're having a potluck after a visit to the free opera preview at the Rainier Arts Center. And we just are trying to build community. And we feel like after the election, that's really the way that we can make a difference, is to make connections with other people on a real face-to-face basis.
So your inauguration day event, where people were offered to come in here into your house and to have snacks, have coffee, have tea.
We called it the day of distraction.
The day of distraction. No political talk was the rule. Tell us about that and also the Ides of Trump.
I think one of the most moving experiences that we've had in Seattle happened on our day of distraction when our door opened and a stranger was there who had seen a sign about the event in the elevator of our building, and we had offered hugs, and she came to our door and she opened it and she asked for a hug. She'd moved into the building 3 days before and didn't know anybody in the neighborhood and was feeling really scared about the state of the world. And we have since become good friends with Marcy. And that's what we're trying to create, is a feeling of belonging.
And the thing about Marcy is that she started crying in the elevator when she saw the sign, and she was crying when she got to our door. And that sense of vulnerability and yet trust at the same time, that whatever she was entering was a place that she could come crying as a stranger. And I think that we become invulnerable. And what it feels like Melissa and I are experiencing with people who come to our home is an opportunity to be vulnerable and not to have that facade on or at least to lower it.
What does it say about your consciousness, you two together, I mean, that people like her can tell from a poster before they even have met you that they are going to be safe and they're going to be nurtured and cared for and honored and respected no matter who they are? What does that say about you two?
First of all, it says that how Melissa writes the little things is so inviting and so loving that who wouldn't want to come here? You know, I mean, really. But I think what it says even more than that is we're, in the act of doing this, we're finding out who we are at a deeper level than we ever expected to. And it's kind of profound how wonderful we are.
You laugh
no,
at that.
She's how wonderful she is. You know?
No, really, really.
Yeah, but I don't go around thinking how wonderful I am.
Well, so. I don't go around thinking how wonderful I am.
But you rarely get asked about the reflection of you that this situation suggests.
Right.
So here's an opportunity, because I've laid it right in front of you, to say, what is it about you? And the writing is a good first step, because the writing also reflects the consciousness of the people. So they can tell something beyond the words that are being used. That she came here crying and knew that it would be a place where she would be welcomed. That must say something about you.
I guess I just have a hard time with that. I think it does. I mean, I think it says that we put ourselves out there as being willing to be vulnerable ourselves and welcoming. But beyond that, I have trouble, you know, with people saying, oh, aren't you wonderful?
But even that is huge.
Well,
to be vulnerable
is, you know,
in this day and age.